So the next to last verse in Ecclesiastes says, the conclusion, when all's been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Now, fearing God and keeping his commandments does not automatically mean that life is going to always be puppy dogs and rainbows. What it does mean is that life will be fulfilling and meaningful. God in his sovereignty may deal us days of prosperity, or he may deal us days of adversity. It's all part of the meaningful life experience. Having meaning and fulfillment in life is determined by having a proper perspective of everything, most importantly, the Lord. So finding meaning in life begins with fearing God. It's the key to a wise and meaningful life. But this is the beginning point. Once you arrive at this starting gate, life does not become a fairy tale. It's real world, and each thing God sovereignly permits requires a proper perspective in order to have meaning. Now, you will notice that Solomon begins verse 15 by saying he had seen everything during these days of futility. He had looked into every possible place in an attempt to find meaning and fulfillment in life. Solomon had seen it all and experienced it all during the days of his meaningless search. He had touched on the subjects of anger and wisdom and money and prosperity and adversity. But we see this first thing here in the proper perspective of length of life. Look at the 15th verse of chapter 7. It says, in my vain life, I've seen everything. There's a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Now, typically speaking, biblically speaking, people who put themselves on a path of righteousness are those to whom God will grant a long and meaningful life. If you honor your parents, you're blessed with a long life. If you obey God's word, promised a long life. You love God, promised a long life. But most of the time, that's the way it works. Those who are righteous have long, productive, meaningful lives. On the other hand, there are those who are wicked who wind up with a life cut off. Most of the time, they live a sinful life. They'll have a short life. We see these almost like the Proverbs, where they're principles. They aren't necessarily promises. So we can rest in the fact that most of the time, when we do the right thing, it works out. Sometimes we see what Solomon sees here in chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes. And he observed that there are times when the righteous person dies young in his righteousness, and a wicked person lives a long life in his wickedness. And sometimes the retribution for wickedness does not come before the grave, but it comes beyond the grave. Sometimes God permits the wicked to outlive the righteous in the world. You can be sure of one thing: when we get beyond the grave, all the wrongs will be made right. There will be a reward and retribution beyond the grave. And then we see a proper perspective of this level of righteousness and wisdom. Look at verse 16. He goes on and he says, be not overly righteous and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? We know from studying scripture that Solomon cannot mean by this verse that a person may be too holy or too committed or too fervent in their pursuit of righteousness. Apostle Peter challenged believers to be holy as God is holy. Paul said believers should forget everything else and put the high calling of God as the ultimate pursuit of life in Philippians 3:13-14. Certainly this text is not designed to get believers to lessen their commitment level to God. Some suggest it means a person who is wise and who will live a meaningful life is not one who will be overly righteous or excessive in the sense of combating sin or paganism in the world. It's not the mark of wisdom to run around excessively righteous fighting this sin issue or that sin issue. And then some suggest that it means that one will not excessively righteous in the sense of self-righteous, rigid, ritualistic legalism. It's a type of righteousness that becomes stricter than even what God demands. Excessive righteousness is righteousness above and beyond the boundaries of the Word of God. Being overly wise is pretending to be wise in a way that is over reality. It's a mark of wisdom to live life with a proper, true, accurate perspective of righteousness and of wisdom. It's not the mark of wisdom to live it as some pseudo sphere of crusades and causes which are over and above Scripture. Wise people pursue righteousness and pursue wisdom, but they are not excessively righteous or overly wise. And then we see the proper perspective of the level of wickedness. Look at verse 17. It says, "Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time?" Keep in mind the previous verse, what we have concluded is that a wise person realizes there is an old Adamic nature within every one of us that prompts us from time to time to do that which is wicked and evil. The wise person will never permit that nature to become excessively wicked. There will be moments of sin and failure, but the wise person will never allow that nature to dominate to an excessive level. Even the most spiritual believers are still sinners. Paul called himself the foremost of sinners in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. We all sin from time to time, but the wise person will not permit it to go to an extreme. And the Bible is filled with many passages that indicate that if sin or wickedness reaches an excessive level, God may physically execute or cause one to physically die before one reaches a full age. That's true both for believer and unbeliever. A couple important practical lessons to be looked at in this text. We must realize there'll be times when we'll fail. We should not get so down on ourselves that we get so depressed and despondent that we cannot understand ourselves or forgive ourselves when God does understand us and forgive us. And we should constantly keep ourselves in check so that no sin ever becomes excessive. Sin has the potential of ruining our spiritual and physical lives. We need to quickly spot, face, confess, and deal with sin so it will never reach that excessive level. Paul said, "If we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. We will sin because we're human. God knew that when he saved us." That's why he made a confession provision in 1 John 1:9. But we see here the proper perspective is the balanced perspective. Look at verse 18. It says, "It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand, for the one who fears God shall come out from both of them." A wise person is one who is not excessively righteous and not excessively wicked. It's a fear of God that develops the balance, a fear of God that keeps a man stable and free from the kinds of excesses that can ruin him. The wise life is one that fears God and is not given to excess.